Good morning, again. Thank you for letting me come up and speak again. Let me just make sure I have everything. I have a little checklist. But I've got it. I'm prepared. So, before I get into the scripture and teaching, I wanted to tell a little story beforehand about how I got here. So, on Father's Day, we had Greg Walton in here, and he was talking about God the Father, and he did a great job. And then a couple weeks ago, my wife Jessica talked about connecting to the Holy Spirit and growing closer to Him. And I wanted to kind of complete that trilogy that was set up, and I wanted to talk about some characteristics of Jesus. And I was starting to line up a bunch of verses. I had, here it is. Jesus getting baptized. I had him washing the disciples' feet. I had him in the desert for 40 days. And I was, you know, studying up, trying to put this together and talk about how much I love Jesus. And I really wanted to focus on the humbleness of Christ. But I got a little distracted by a verse I found. I was reading in Mark, and, you know, I'm always, whenever I'm reading, I'm trying to think of other scripture and how stuff connects. And it just, I couldn't stop thinking about it. And it brought me down this rabbit trail, and that rabbit trail I kept walking down, and it turned into a normal hiking trail, so to speak. And so over the past couple of weeks, I've been thinking and rethinking, and so I've turned my sermon into these two verses that I can't stop thinking about. So these two verses are a handful of verses in Mark chapter 9, and then a handful of verses in Matthew chapter 7. So I'm going to start in Mark 9, and then I'm going to read Matthew 7, and then I'm going to show you how I connected the two. For a little bit of context before we start, both of them are Jesus speaking while he's teaching. So these are both disciples writing down quotations of what Jesus said. So I'm going to read from Mark chapter 9, starting in verse 38. John said to Jesus, "Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to prevent him because he was not following us." But Jesus said, "Do not hinder him, for there is no one who will perform a miracle in my name and be able soon afterward to speak evil of me. For he who is not against us is for us. For whoever gives you a cup of water to drink, because of your name as followers of Christ, truly I say to you, he will not lose his reward." So, I'm reading this passage in attempting to research. And in my head, I go, wait a minute, that sounds like something else here. He will not lose his reward. I know, I think I've heard of something like that before. And I was really focused in on verse 41. "For whoever gives you a cup of water to drink, I will say to you, he will not lose his reward." And so I was searching around, trying to read up where it came from. And the other verse I was thinking of was Matthew chapter 7. We are in verse 21. "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and perform many miracles?' And I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" So, this is the part where I get confused. Because for some reason, I've made this connection here of... In Mark, Jesus is teaching this teaching of about how teachers should act and how the disciples should act with other teachers Jesus is trying to bring in. And Matthew is talking about bad teaching. And when the day of judgment arrives, what he will say to the bad teachers and bad believers, and he will say, "Depart from me." So they're a little out of context, so I wanted to put them in context because I'm trying to go and show you guys the thought process I went through. So obviously it doesn't make much sense, and it's a weird connection. So in Mark chapter 9, this is right after the Mount of Transfiguration. Jesus goes up with a handful of disciples, and he reveals himself and the glory of God to his disciples, and it's an incredible, powerful thing. And he comes back down, and he continues teaching throughout Galilee afterwards. And during one of these times of traveling after the Mount of Transfiguration, the disciples are all walking and talking with Jesus, and John decides to share something. And he shares what we just read in Mark chapter 9. He shares that we tried to prevent somebody from teaching because he wasn't following you around physically. And Jesus says, don't hinder him. Don't let's not stop other people who are helping us, who are preaching about me and teaching about me. And, like, you guys don't need to worry about what other people are doing. Focus on yourselves, because if he's not against us, he's for us. He was preaching about me. He's on our team. We're all together here. Let's not hinder each other. And he gives the verse 41, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink, he won't lose his reward if he gives it to a believer of Christ. And afterwards he goes, whoever causes one of these little ones to believe, to stumble, it would be better for him to have a heavy millstone hung around his neck and he would be cast in the sea. I don't know if you guys have ever seen like an actual millstone for when they used to mill down grain. They're huge, they're massive, and they're very, very heavy. And Jesus here is using this millstone analogy for emphasis of, let's not stop each other, but try and help each other, give each other water and provide for each other. And sorry, I could use a little water, but that's okay. So, Jesus in Mark 9 is talking about helping each other, and sometimes there's people outside of the church, the physical church building. I know it's lovely in here, especially with the ACs. But there are many people who work outside of the church, and it seems like what they do is strange. Like, we have many missionaries or people living in different countries who are still doing the work of the Lord, and we shouldn't be judgmental to them. We should help them and give assistance to those who are not only right here beside us, but far away. Because it's better. Jesus considers it very important to help one another. And then, before I continue in that, I wanted to give a little context to Matthew 7, because Matthew 7 has Jesus talking on the Sermon on the Mount. This is one of his really big teachings. He has a big crowd gather in front of him, and he prepares many, many different things in a row to try and change the hearts of the Jewish people and bring them together. And he, near the end here, has a talk about fruit and trees and false prophets. And so if we look around at what I was confused by, it says, "Beware of the false prophets who come in your sheep's clothing. But inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Every good tree bears fruit, and every bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then, you will know the identity of trees by the identity of their fruits. And not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven. But he who does the will of my Father, who is in heaven, will enter. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and perform many miracles?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" And that's where I really got confused, because it says, weren't these like false prophets doing miracles? They were casting out demons and stuff. And in the other verse it says, if you do a miracle, you can't speak ill of Jesus. So those seem crisscrossy and backwards. Well, actually, they're not. It took me a minute to realize. When Jesus is talking about the trees and the fruit here, it is the men who say, "Did we not perform these miracles?" If they're false prophets, or if they're bad teachers, a bad teacher might be inclined to lie or to perform tricks and deceive. The men will say, "Lord, Lord, did we not perform miracles and perform demon exorcisms?" And Jesus will say, "Depart from me. I never knew you." It is not Jesus saying, "Yeah, you did miracles, but you didn't really mean it. They didn't do any miracles. Thank you very much." So these false prophets actually didn't do anything. They didn't do any good miracles or cast out any demons. And it made me realize that, you know, I guess it comes down to whether or not Jesus knows our heart. Because, I mean, that's really the only way he'll know, is if he knows our heart. And, like, what we're thinking about, where our intentions come from. And in Mark 9, that's what he's trying to tell us, to warn us of. "No one will perform a miracle in my name and soon afterwards speak ill of me." If you see a miracle or a good work, that comes from God working through a believer. There will not be good works in this world that come from evil. People who do good works are faithful people. And so, if you're worried about false prophets and bad teachers, look at the works they do. A bad teacher will not provide anything for people, will not share a cup of water, will not bear the fruit of the Spirit. And so I came to this little conclusion, this little nugget of wisdom, and it's like, that's very nice. It's very nice to know that the fruit of the Spirit cannot be bared by anybody but believers, and that good works come from God. And I was in my prayer time with the Lord at one point, and I realized, you know, this is a moment where God is speaking to me. This is a moment where he's trying to communicate me, or he's ordered this to happen, because in those moments where I'm really weak in my faith, I get kind of scared, and I think about teachings, and I try to remind myself, and I think about like the parable of the sheep and the goats, or the parable of the 10 virgins. But whenever I'm weak in my faith and I think about those moments, I'm I'm always one of the goats who gets cast aside. I'm one of the 10 virgins who never has enough oil in their lamp, and so I get left behind. Or I'm always the one with the millstone around my neck. And I think it's pretty scary that when the Day of Days comes, if Jesus comes up to me and says, "I never knew you, sorry." And so I get scared of that sometimes. And it's honestly perhaps kept me up a night or two too long when I think about it. But Jesus is very clear here. I don't need to worry about that. We, as believers, don't need to worry about an uncertainty of, is Jesus just going to suddenly be like, "Don't know you. Mm-mm. Goodbye." No. Here, he's very clear. "For whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because they are a follower of Christ, they will not lose the reward." There's a teaching in James about good faith produces good works. And this little teaching here of what Jesus is talking about shows us to that. Good works are evidence of good faith. And good faith cannot be taken away, cannot be removed from us. And Jesus Christ's salvation, if you have that faith, cannot be taken away. And so I'm less scared. I'm still working on it. I'm less scared at night because I realize if up here or if down there or if anywhere, I'm trying to give people the cup of water or you know, perform good works or bear the fruit of the Spirit, I know where that comes from. That comes from my faith. That comes from God. And those blessings are from God. And so I don't need to be scared anymore. Because in Matthew 7, it says, we will identify believers by their fruit and unbelievers by their lack of fruit. And so, in conclusion, a big conclusion here, I like to always take what I learned and try and put it into my own sort of metaphor to show that I can explain it. And so I came up with this metaphor of God being a judge, you know, the type of judge in court with the gavel and the hammer. And if you're very creative like I am, I think of the big wigs with the white curly hair that they fake wear. And so we're kind of on trial sometimes because of our sin. And in American court of law, every man who goes to court is allowed a lawyer, a court-appointed lawyer. Well, our court-appointed lawyer is Jesus Christ, the perfect lawyer, you might say. And if he's our perfect lawyer, he kind of comes in and saves us. Hey, that sounds familiar. So we're kind of on trial for our sin. And it can be scary sometimes, but we have a godly person, a God in person, coming to save us, and that's Jesus Christ. And we don't need to be feared, or we don't need to fear, or be fearful of the Lord our God, who is judging us fairly, because Jesus is on our behalf, showing the fruit that we bear and the faith that we have from it, because of it. Faith first, fruit second. And because of that, we're not left alone in the darkness like the five without oil, or we're not separated as a goat from the flock of sheep, or we're not cast with a millstone around our neck. We are in the light of the Lord. We have the bread of the Lord. We have salvation from him, and we don't need to be afraid. And so I'd like to, a bit of a short one today. I know. I was hoping to get everybody outside for the summer sun as well. So let's conclude in a prayer. Let us all bow our heads, and if you'll follow me in prayer.